Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
You know, we've talked about this several times, and I'm not necessarily going to turn to the verse, but I just want to just go through this with you real quick. That there was, during the Friday night service, there were a lot of good things that the Lord was speaking to us. But one of the things that have stayed with me into today and just keeps coming up in my mind and came up again, you know, during praise and worship and while Pastor Mike was speaking, was like the condition of the church today, you know. And what he was showing us is that in so many ways, the things that you saw when Jesus came to Martha's house and Mary was there, you know, there is so much... I don't know, such a fulfilling thing in your life for you to know how the Lord is, feels towards what you're doing when you acknowledge Him, right? That when you are at the feet of Jesus, which just basically means that you humble your heart before the Lord, right? That's all that means. You can kneel all day long and not humble your heart, right? In other words, you could be on your knees praying, but really all that you're really doing is an outpouring of worry and cares that you have, right? Not really necessarily to the Lord, just talking out loud about a bunch of stuff. But that doesn't mean that you're really humbled your heart before the Lord, because we know that to humble our heart before the Lord, you have to know and say, Lord, you know what? There's nothing that I can do about this situation. Therefore, for me to care is not going to add anything or take away anything from this situation. So what you say is, Lord, I humble my heart before you, Lord, because I believe that you're the one that's on the inside of me. I believe that the word of God is alive and you are powerful on the inside of me. And you are the only one that can cut into my deepest, most innermost thoughts and desires and correct thinking, right? You're the only one that can do that. So for me to care is not going to correct my thinking, right? And so for you to know that whenever you do that, when you come before the Lord just to listen to Him, when you acknowledge Him, the Lord is saying to you exactly what He said about Mary. You know what He said about her? All this woman did was come in, saw Jesus, and sat at His feet. That's all she did. Now let me explain something to you about Mary. That Mary did not think everything right. That Mary didn't do everything right. That Mary did not act and say everything right out of her mouth. She got upset and said things that she shouldn't say. She did things she should not do. But one thing Jesus said, one thing, she said she has found the one thing that is necessary, and it will not be taken from her. The one thing that is necessary. Our Lord and Savior said, the one thing that is necessary. He said, the church believes that there are many things that are necessary. In other words, the church believes that there's many things that need to happen, many things that a church ought to do, many things. But there is one thing. There is really, really, truly, you know, as Christ witnessing Himself, the glory of God, right? There is really, truly one thing. Now, what did He say about Martha, which was the one that was busily working and doing it for Him, right? She wasn't cooking for herself, right? She wasn't preparing everything for herself. She was doing everything for Him. He was a guest in her home, right? But you know, the interesting thing, and this is something that I had not seen before, but that the Lord showed me, is that the word Martha, the name Martha, means mistress, right? So in other words, in many, many ways, the church lives today desiring to please. They're desiring to please and to be pleasing to the Lord. In many ways, the church does not believe, like Pastor Mike was just talking about, the church does not believe that God looks favorably on her, but that God favors other people, and that we need to get to the point, if we get enough faith, that God is going to be pleased with us, because we think that what faith is believing God enough to be able to get stuff, right? But actually, faith is just, right, the knowledge of Jesus, right? Faith is possessing the knowledge of Jesus. That's why when the Lord says, oh, you of little faith, all that He's saying is, oh, you that know so little about me, right? That's all that is. Oh, you that know so little about me. Because, and he says that because, I mean, that's why he told Philip, he says, have you been with me so long yet, and yet you do not know me? That means that he was of little faith, right? He didn't understand who it was that Christ came to manifest, right? He didn't know who Christ came to manifest. So in many ways then, what the Lord would love is for his church, obviously, in his to acknowledge, right, is to be able to look at the Lord, right, to be able to look at the Lord and listen to him, right, and in listening to him that we would be able to be taught of him. That's all that it is, right? It was prophesied way in the book of Jeremiah, right? It says that we are those, I mean, and listen, this was a prophet of the old covenant prophesying about where we live today. In other words, can I tell you this? This is the truth, right? The prophets looked forward to something so great that we don't know we have, right? In other words, they were prophesying about a time we live in today, and we're living like we haven't actually gotten anywhere yet, right? Like we don't actually possess anything yet. Yet the Lord was showing them, right, that what they had was nothing compared to what we would have. And we mentioned this on Friday or Wednesday. I forget exactly when it was. I think it was maybe Wednesday or before that. You know, if we were to see, you know, so many of us look fondly on the works of the prophets of old, right? We look fondly at the things that they have accomplished. Yet look at what Jesus did. And he said, even greater works than these will you do because I go to the Father. Why was that so important that he said, greater works than these will you do because I go to the Father? Because there was never a time in history where Jesus had stood up as the high priest of the church, would go to the right hand of the Father and be our eternal high priest. The people of Israel only tasted what it was to have a high priest. They only tasted the small little earthly benefits of what it was to have a high priest, right? And in symbol to be forgiven, in symbol, because they were not, but in symbol to be forgiven, to have their sins overlooked. But we live honestly as masters of all, but children in our understanding, therefore we live as though we have nothing, right? Right. And it's funny the things we were just talking about when we were coming in this morning. Right. But we live like people who have nothing, even though we have everything. Right. So one big thing that I really think that the Lord really wants to help us with this morning is the desire to want to please the Lord, to live like a mistress, even though you are the wife. Right. To live like a mistress, even though you own and are heir with Christ. Right. I don't even think people know half of what that means. To be a joint heir with Christ. A joint heir. That means that whatever is his mine. And if it's not, then I'm not a joint heir, right? If I'm not an heir as Christ is an heir, then means that I don't have what he has. And that would be understandable, right? But the Bible says that as he is, not as he was, not as he walked the earth, as awesome as the things were that Christ did while he was on the earth, right? He walks and lives differently today. His very existence is different. The glory that he has now is not the same glory that he walked in when he was on the earth. It is not the same glory. That's why he prayed in John 17, Father, that I would return to the glory that we once shared before the world was, right? Now, here's the interesting part. The glory he's given you is the glory that he has now, right? Most people would think it heresy to think that we have a glory today that Christ did not have when he walked in this earth, right? But that is entirely true, right? Because the glory that he gave us now is as he is, so are we in this world. It's not as he was and as how he used to be, but it's as he is, so are we in this world, right? So if we listened to the Lord and allowed him to teach us, but can I tell you something, what stops that? And what hinders that? I really believe that it is really the church hindering itself from within, right? Because let me explain something to you. In all my years, I didn't go to church as a little boy, right? But in all of my years of being in church and attending church and hearing things from Bible colleges and just listening to the things that are going on in the church, you know what you see a lot of? You see a lot of what the Lord said to the Pharisees, right? And there's a verse, while you're walking out, you'll see it hanging there on the wall. It says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you will find life. And Pastor Mike, oddly enough, it was interesting, not oddly, but it was interesting that he touched on that also, right? Speaking about the Word of God. We know that the Word of God says, right, that the Lord speaks it to us and teaches it to us by His Word. And we're going to go into that in a second. But He teaches us by His Word, right? We know that. We know that. And we're going to clarify what that means. But we also know that it's written in Scripture, right? That the Word of God is living and powerful, right? How do you get that? That verse right there, the Word of God is living and powerful. How do we get that to mean that it's a book? How did we do that? I don't know how it happened, right? I don't even know how it even began. But how does that equate to a book? Jesus told the Pharisees that were holding a book. He says, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you find life. If I can paraphrase that for you, in the book you don't find life. But most churches will not believe that. I could go almost into any church this Sunday morning and hold up a Bible. This is an iPad, but I could hold up a physical Bible, right? And I could say, thank the Lord for the Word. Does anybody know that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? And everybody say, hooray! But it's baloney, right? Because we're doing the same thing that he wanted to correct in the Pharisees. We open up our Bible because we think that in it we find life. But how can you give life to words on a page? Words on a page do not have life, right? Listen, can I tell you this? And I'm going to show you this beyond a shadow of a doubt. You'll see it by the Spirit of God if you're hearing the Lord, right? Well, let's go there. John 17. John chapter 17. Let's do that and you can see. You'll see it's my God, so clear. You know, can I tell you this? So many times, I know and I understand, and I said it on Friday, and I believe really that's where the Lord is continuing today, that I know how many people have been hurt, right? People have been hurt in churches all over the place, right? But the thing is, again, you have to remember the place of the church and the purpose of the church. The purpose of pastors, evangelists, teachers, right, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. There is no other biblical basis or reason for a church other to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And how, and you'll see it today how it happens. How can the church get there? How can the church do the work? The work, right? Jesus called the work the good work. Jesus in John 17, you'll see it, he calls the work the good work, right? So why does the church exist? In order to convey or communicate truth. Truth, right? What does Jesus say the truth is? He says, my word, he said, is truth. Hear this a second. Is it possible that any other thing can be the truth if it is not his word? Right? It's impossible, right? Because he said, my word is truth. So if it's not my word, it's not truth. But didn't the devil quote the Bible? So that must be truth. The way the church looks at it today, anytime you quote the Bible, you could just be quoting anything or reading anything and you're speaking truth, but that's not true. Because the Bible says, here's what he says. He said, for you to discern by what spirit a person speaks. And because we are not mature people and being able to discern by the spirit that we already have on the inside of it, who is what and what is who, right? We judge things that are of God as the devil and the devil is God, right? So the very thing Jesus rebukes is the very thing we accept. We accept men to speak to us off the top of their head. We allow men to go through Bibles, figure out a lesson plan to us like we're in some kind of fifth grade school, and regurgitate to us and walk us through the Bible as though that is God's word. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. Nothing that any man will ever teach me out of a book called the Holy Bible will ever do anything for you because it is not the word of God. The only thing that is the word of God is if a man speaks by the Spirit of God. And he can quote the very Bible that another minister, some on the other side of the world, is speaking, and one will be the word of God and one will not be the word of God. You know why? Because only, listen, and this is so, so extremely important, right? Let me read this to you. Let's do John 17. Look at verse number 4. John 17 and verse number 4. Look at what he says. Look at what he says here. And this is Jesus praying. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. What did Jesus do? He glorified the Father, where? On this earth. Let's see how he did it. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work, right? Now here's what you'll know, and there are other verses that we can't dive into, but I'll just mention it to you. Jesus said that no work that he did he do, but it was the Father in him doing the work. Who was doing the work? The Father in him was doing the work. Who was doing the work? The Father in him was doing the work. Who was doing the work when it was Martha and Mary? Martha was doing the work. What had happened to Martha? She was rebuked for her work, right? Right? Jesus did not get rebuked. He glorified the Father. Why? He said, it is the Father in me that does the work. The whole church believes in the Holy Spirit, but none of the church believes that the Spirit speaks. Even though the very book they read that they call the Word of God says in it, right, that the Spirit is the only one that can lead us into all truth. Yet they think a book can lead you into truth. But only the Spirit, he says, you have been given a Spirit so that you may know. And how do they think that they know? That they learn it. Just like they learn math. Just like they learn history. Just like they learn anything. The Pharisees learn the Word of God the same way the majority of the church thinks that they're learning the Word of God. That's how they learned it. They looked at it, they studied it, and they made mental assent to it. You know how much of what they read they understood? None of it. How much of the Word of God that a Jewish woman or man reads do they understand? None of it. It says that even today their eyes are blind, where they cannot see what? The glory of God. They cannot see. They read it every day and they cannot see. Must be that the book is not the thing that's alive. Because if the book were alive, they would see. What is it that they're missing? What is a Jewish man that reads the Word of God, the same Deuteronomy that me and you can read, the same second giving of the law that me and you read, what is the big thing that's a difference? I have the Spirit of God, they don't. What does that mean? I can know and they cannot. The book is not alive. My God, can the church even understand that? That the book is not alive? That you don't shake it, drop it on a table, and wherever it opens, that's God's word to you? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard, even though I used to do it. Right? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard, even though I used to do it. Right? Why? Because we learn things like that. We think, we think that we are poor people. We think, listen, when you think like a poor man, you act like a poor man. Right? When you think like a poor man, you act like a poor man, even though you are owner of everything. We have the, can you even hear yourself say that in your mind? I have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of me. Where in that phrase, did that in any way, shape, or form speak disadvantage? I have the Spirit of the living God. I have the teacher that leads me into all truth. I have that teacher on the inside of me. That's why the church doesn't understand. It said there will be no need for any man to say, know the Lord. I don't have to tell you, know the Lord, because you have the teacher in you and I am not it, right? I'm not it. I mean, we've had people that have written emails to the church. I want to get my relationship back on track with the Lord. And you know what? That's commendable. Awesome. You want to get your relationship back on track. So come then. So what? So you can hear. But people, their understanding is not that. People actually believe that you can sit down with someone and counsel, and that counsel is gonna somehow wave a magic wand over you and you're gonna be well. But men are not counselors, even though they call themselves counselors. You have one in you who is the counselor. What would the right ministering person, pastor, evangelist, teacher, right? What would any of those offices within the church do if they were doing the right thing? They would point you towards the one who is in you. And if you don't have him in you, because let's say you're not saved, they would speak a word from God in order so that you would see from God that he would teach you, convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and you would be able to begin to see. Can a person who has never seen just see one time? Probably not, right? Because in order for you to be saved, you have to know. And knowing does not come in a 15-minute session sitting down with somebody and talking to them, right? You have to be a hearer. You have to listen. You have to listen, right? We didn't get saved the day we prayed a prayer. You know why? Because when you prayed that prayer, you didn't know what the heck you were saying. You got to learn and you have to know what it is. You can't just say Jesus is Lord without knowing what that even means. Who is he and what has he done, right? So here he says, look at what he says. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And now he says, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So he wanted to return to something he did not have, right? He wanted to return to a glory that he had what? Laid down. He wanted to return to the advantage that he had put down and come to this earth. Why? Because God Almighty cannot become sin. How would that happen, right? How can Almighty God, or the God of all the universe, all of a sudden become sin, right? He could not, right? But he laid everything down in order so that he could what? Become sin, so that he who knew no sin could become sin, so that we could become what? The righteousness of God. People, you hearing what that is? The righteousness of God, not the righteousness of me, the righteousness of God we have become. And we still think we're poor. We have become the righteousness of God himself. And we believe that we have nothing and live for nothing and are dying to find our purpose in this world, right? You have everything on the inside of you and we're trying to find our purpose. The purpose is easy. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Stop. That's it. The more you live, the more you're going to mess it up. The more you allow him to live, the more he himself, the Son within you, will glorify the Father. Because you know what? Here's what he says. Look at what he says. I have manifested thy name. So there is something that Jesus did that showed the name of God, right? That showed the name of God. So what that is, when he says, I manifested that name, how did he do that? How did he, to manifest is to bring from inside out, right? To reveal, to open up so people could see. How did he open up who God is to the world? How did Christ open up to see who God is to the world? He said, I manifested thy name unto the men that thou gavest me out of the world. And that's going to be real important, that you gave me out of the world. The men you gave me out of the world. That means they were in the world and God gave them to him out of the world. And he gave them to him because they were the fathers, and he gave him whatever is the son is of the fathers, whatever is of the fathers of the son. So watch what he says. He said, the men that thou gavest me out of the world, thine they were and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Right? They have, and this is going to make perfect sense to you in a second, right? If you listen to him. They have kept thy word. So it was by the word of God. I didn't say Bible. I said they was by the word of God, right? The word of God, that God was manifest to them. So Christ revealed, right? Christ revealed the Father to the disciples by the word of God, and they kept it. That means they believed it. They took it. They believed it. They kept that word. And now something happened, and you're going to see it later. When you believe the word of God, I didn't say believe the Bible, which we should believe the Bible, but you can't believe the Bible if somebody doesn't teach you the Bible. And the only one who can teach you the Bible is the teacher you have on the inside of you. So when you hear the Spirit of God who does speak, when you believe the Spirit of God who does speak, right? Because remember, he's alive, right? If he was mute and dead, he could not speak, but he is alive, right? So it's high time that the church begin to acknowledge the one who is alive and stop thinking that it's at Easter that you celebrate that he's risen up next to the Father. He's alive and he's in us, right? That's a big truth that we ought to see and understand. He's alive and he's in me. So because he's in me, he's in there for a purpose. To what? To glorify the one. To glorify the Father. How did Jesus do it? Right? He manifested the Father through the word of God. Those other men kept that word, means that they were taught, right? That same word. And what happened is, when you receive the word of God and you believe it, right? You're taught by the Spirit of God, the word of God. You know what happens? You're taken out of the world. You're separated. The Lord sees us all in one planet, right? But you are of a different kingdom now. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, which people cannot see, right? People that are in the kingdom of darkness cannot see the Lord, right? They cannot see, they cannot understand, they cannot know anything about God. So what does he do? He translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son, because it is through his son. Listen, we today as Christians, as I'm standing here right now, you know what we hear? We hear from heaven. We don't hear from the earth. We hear from heaven. How do you know that we hear from heaven? Jesus said, I will give you my spirit. And what else did he say? Whatever he receives from me, he will speak to you. Because you have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you, right? And he says, it is the Father that's speaking to you. But he says, because everything that is of the Father is mine, that's why I can say to you that he will take up what is mine and speak it to you. Right? So you hear today from heaven. The Bible says that if we heeded the one who speaks on earth, right, which was speaking about Moses and Mount Sinai, if we heeded the one that spoke from earth, even though they could not even bear the things that were being spoken, how much more will we not escape if we don't heed the one or listen to the one who speaks from heaven? Who speaks from heaven? If you stood up in a church today, in most churches, sadly enough, and you would say that we are those that hear from heaven, they say, what? Hear from who? Heaven? How do you do that? Right? They don't believe that they have the Spirit of God. Where is the Spirit of God from? Right? Whose spirit do we have? Is it God's spirit or the spirit of this world? The Bible says you have not received the spirit of this world. The spirit of where? This world. What have you not received? The spirit of this world. If you had the spirit of this world, you would hear from this world, right? You've not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is what? From God. We have in us the spirit who is what? From God. And you say you hear from heaven, and people say, oh, I think you're of the devil. You know what that means? That means lack of discernment and child in understanding, right? And because you're a child and you're understanding, you cannot discern nor even know what the Lord is saying or is not saying. But how does that change? How does being a child, the same way Jesus did it to his disciples, what did he do? They began to be children in their understanding, but what did he continue to do? To teach them, to manifest the Father to them. After 3 years of manifesting the Father to them, he's getting ready to go up to the glory that he once shared, and Philip says to him, show us the Father. 3 years manifesting God the Father to this man, and that man asks him, show us the Father and I will be satisfied. What did Jesus say? Have I been with you so long and you don't even know who I am? I have been speaking to you, have been hearing heaven speak to you, and you want me to show you the Father. Right? If you've seen me, he said, you've seen who? The Father. Is it because the Father has hair just like Jesus and had his nose just like Jesus and his tongue and his clothes and the Father looks just like Jesus, dressed just like him? It's because what? The spirit of that Father was in that man speaking to him, right? Now, what did he do? He manifested them. So what happens? The church has been hurt so much, right? By men that lie and deceive for their own gain, that they can't even tell anymore who is from God and who isn't. They can't tell the difference anymore, right? They can't. So all that they go by is their own understanding. And they think that they can sit somewhere and make a decision from up here whether they believe or not. So you know what they believe? What they've heard before. You know what they reject? What they've never heard before. Right? That's how people live. They reject what they don't know, and they accept what they have routinely heard from the church, right? The only thing is, that's not God, how God speaks. God, thank God, he teaches us things, right? That are just lining up perfectly with the scriptures and what is written, but not necessarily, right, that people have heard it before. But then how do you do that? How do you decide that which is of God and that which isn't, right? Very easily. He says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make that which is crooked straight so you can see. And he'll show you truth. Listen, people, truth is not my job and truth is not your job. We don't know the truth. That's why we need a spirit of truth. We don't know it. If I knew truth, I don't need him. If I can tell what truth is, I do not need the Spirit of God, right? But he needs to lead me into some of the truth, right? He needs to lead me into 50% of the truth. No, he needs to lead me into all truth, because I can't even tell 1% of it, right? All truth he needs to lead me to. And thank God, look at what else the church has. The church possesses the mind of Christ. It possesses the mind of Christ. It says no one can judge the church, right? Because this is who can judge you, right? It's like judging God. If they judge you, they're judging God, right? He says, because who has been able to instruct the Lord? No one can instruct God, right? And he says, but you, he says right after that, he says, but you have the mind of Christ. You know what that means? That when you allow the Spirit of God, by the sword of the Spirit, whose sword is it? The Spirit's sword, right? Just checking, right? The sword of the Spirit. It's not my sword. He didn't put it in my hand for me to wield it, right? Because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I need to cut, and I don't know what I need to erase. I don't know what I need to cast down and shoot up and do, right? Truth is not my, I don't know what to throw up to heaven, what to cut off, what thought is good and what thought is bad. Sometimes I think I have a good thought and the thought is dead wrong. Sometimes I have a bad thought and the bad thought is actually the right thing, right? So how do you know? You have one in you who possesses the sword of the Spirit, right? The same one that brought down the wall of Jericho, the commander of the Lord's army, is the same one that brings down the walls in your heart. Same exact one. You don't have to cast down vain imaginations. That's his job, right? Why? Because he's the one that knows truth. I wouldn't know the difference between a vain thought and a thought that's not vain. In my own understanding, I do not know what a vain thought is. Actually, to lean on my understanding, you know what vain is? Another word for vain is useless, right? Useless thoughts. You know what useless thoughts are? Anything that I think that is not of the Spirit of God is useless. You know why? Because it doesn't get me anywhere. It doesn't do anything for me. It's just useless. It's vain, right? Vain imagination. Look what he says. He says, now they have known. This is really important. They kept the word, and when you keep the word that is coming from the body of a human being, when you keep the word that's coming from the body of the human being, listen to where you end up when you do that correctly. It says, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. You know what he's saying there? They heard him speak and believed that the words he was speaking was coming from heaven. They believed that, right? So he says, because they believed, Lord, that the things that I was speaking are from you, right? Right? That was called keeping the word. So you can listen to a man speak, right? But know that the things that are being said are from God. And you know what? You've kept the word of God. If you listen to a man and keep the word that is just from a man's brain of studying the Bible, right? You're keeping the word of a man, not the word of God. You can't keep the word of God when it ain't God speaking it, right? If you keep the word of a man, you're keeping the word of a man. If you're hearing the word of God, you're keeping the word of God. It depends on which one you're listening to, right? It can sound the same. It can say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that we believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You can have two men say that, but one is speaking by the Spirit of God and the other one wasn't, and you can be keeping the word of God or the word of a man. How do you keep the word of God when God is the one speaking the word, right? Actually, it's interesting that every time that it says word, where is that? Can we do something? Can you stay right there and just switch over to the Young's Literal Translation? It's nice so many times to see the Young's Literal Translation because the Young's Literal translates certain words that would be a little uncomfortable to read all the time, but very literal. So look at what he says, if I can find it here. And look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, because the sayings that thou hast given me, the sayings. You know what word is there in the King James? Flip back again now to King James so you can see it. Verse 8 said, because the sayings, right? Verse number 8 in the King James says, for I have given unto them the words, the sayings, right? A Bible is not a saying, right? It's not the sayings of, when God says the saying, he's saying what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? I didn't mean to do that. You know what I'm saying? What he's saying that he's saying, right? In other words, if you hear what I'm saying, that's a saying, right? If I'm reading something, right, that could be something that was written, but it's not what God is saying. You know how awesome this is? When I acknowledge the Lord and I say, Father, you get up in the morning, and you don't have to read a psalm and a proverb and an old and a new, right? But you get up in the morning and you say, Father, I acknowledge you, Lord. And I am one that has your thoughts. Your thoughts are my thoughts and your ways are my ways. Most of the church would not dare to say that about themselves. Your thoughts are my thoughts and your ways, right, are my ways. Because what they actually sing about is, Lord, you whose ways are above our ways and your thoughts higher than our thoughts. They don't believe that they can have the thoughts of God. How do you have the thoughts of God when you have his mind? If you have the mind of God, you have the thoughts of God, right? But they don't trust even what they have, partly because they don't know what they have, right? Even though they do have it, right? But they don't trust that they have the word of God. that the one that can speak to them, right? Because they don't really believe most times that he can speak to them, and he is truly alive, right? And powerful on the inside of you. So when they don't believe it, they don't believe that, they don't believe his sayings, right? They don't believe that they can have. Well, let's not get off track. So let's keep. If we started verse 6, look at verse number 7 again. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given, listen, please, I have given unto them the word, right? I have given unto them the words that thou gavest me. Let me ask you a question, please. In that verse, and in what you know about Jesus, right? How did God give Jesus the word? He must have taken a leather-bound Bible bought from, right, Bible.com, and stuck it inside of the stomach of Jesus Christ, right? Because he gave them him his word. And then Jesus took that word, that Bible, out of his tummy and stuck it in the brain of the disciples, right? Because this is the word of God, right? So he stuck it in their brain. It was not written, right? The New Testament was not written yet, but somehow he was able to give the word that the Father gave him to them. How'd that happen? You know how he did it? He received the Spirit of God, right? He gave unto them, and they received the same Spirit, right? So the word then was given unto them. And now here's the thing, though. In the time where we're reading there, they could receive the word of God, right? They could receive the word of God and keep it, right? But be receiving it from the Spirit in Christ unto them, right? Now, there came a time in the book of Acts in chapter 2 where they received the living word of God on the inside of them. Therefore, right, they had the ability then within them. They didn't have to listen to Jesus all the time now speaking in order for him to be their only source. Now, he could speak to them, but they also would have on the inside of them him who is called, right, who could speak the word of God on the inside of them. So he gave them the word of God. How? Because he spoke to them. So listen, it's so funny that it's something so simple has become so complicated. You know what the Bible is called in the Bible? Scripture. That which is written. When Jesus said it is written, he was referring to that which is what? Written. It means that somebody wrote it down. Jesus said it is written. So that's what he was talking about, what was written. When the Bible in Hebrews 12 calls it the word of God, whose words are we talking about? God's words, right? It says, we have ascended to Mount Zion. We have ascended to Mount Zion. We have ascended what? Mount Zion is heaven, right? We have ascended, right, to heaven. We should be people that desire, the Bible says. Most Bibles say spiritual gifts. So the church makes that out to be spiritual powers, you know, superpowers, like superheroes. And then the church believes that the Spirit of God can give you superpowers, and that by those superpowers, you can just delight and want superpowers, like, oh, I wish really that I could burn through things with just looking at them, and I wish that I could leap over tall buildings in a single bound, and then those are the powers that the Spirit of God can give you. Like, he has these singular powers, and that's what we should desire, is to want to use those powers, right? But actually what it says is to desire spiritual, everything that is of the Spirit of God, everything. And that's why he says, and above everything that is spiritual, he says, I desire that you would want, right, that you would desire prophecy, which is what? Out of the greatest things that exist, he said, the one thing that I desire, that you would desire above all things, is that you would prophesy. You know what prophecy is? To speak what God is saying. That he is the one that speaks. Why is it so important? Why is it so important for men for God to be able to speak through a man? Why is that so important? He says so that the church is edified. So the church, I didn't say so that you would feel happy and want to go to McDonald's to have a happy meal. I said so that the church would be edified. Edified means so that the church can be built up. If the church can hear the words of God, they will keep the words of God and they will be built up in him. You know why? Because the church is not supposed to be built up in itself. The church is not supposed to be built up in a building project. The church is supposed to be built up in Christ. And only Christ can build you up in himself. You can only grow towards him who is the head if you're hearing him. If you hear men, it's going to sound good, but you're not growing anywhere. You're not learning anything. You can't learn anything but by the one who is the teacher. That was prophesied of us. There will come a day where you will be called those that are taught of God. Taught of God. Most people, you ask them that are Christians, that love Jesus, right? And you would ask them, let me ask you something. Are you taught of God? And they wouldn't really be sure. I don't really know. I mean, I go to the church down the road and they teach me the Bible, right? But are you taught of God? Are you taught of God, right? Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is, but if it's not him speaking, it's vain, right? If it's not him speaking, it's vain. Let's keep going, right? Let's keep going because we're going to be closing up here. So look at what he says. I have given unto them the words which thou hast given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. That I came out from thee, right? That I was born of God. You know what it says about you? That you have been born of the Father. That you, when you were given new life, you were born of him. And he is called the Son of God, and you are called sons of God. Which means what? That he is like his Father, and so are you. You are like your Father. You are like your Father. What do most Christians believe? That they're not like God. They're actually trying to be a Martha, which is a mistress, trying to please him, even though we are already pleasing unto him and don't have to walk around like we have nothing, right? I am not God's lover, right? I am his and he is mine. I am not the lover of God, right? I'm not a lover for him to use whenever he wants to use, and the rest of the time it's just up to me. Right? To live in this world trying to fend for myself, but every once in a while he comes up and he gives me a little loving, right? I am not the mistress of God. I am his. He is mine. I know I have the mind of Christ. I have the thoughts of God, and God speaks through me, right? You should know that and learn that about yourself and who you have and who you are in him, right? He said, I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou did send me. Now, this is important, right? Just keep that in the back of your mind that thou did send me. Go up, bring verse 9 up to the top, if you will. Andre, verse 9 up to the top there. I pray for them. My God, can we hear the prayer of Jesus, right? I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Why does Jesus not pray for the world? Because he's making a distinction. He's making a distinction between people that will listen to him and people that won't. He is not saying that the world is everybody that is unsaved at that time. Because if he were, he'd be talking about his disciples. He hasn't even gotten to the cross yet, right? He hasn't even gotten to the cross yet. If he was talking about, if the world is everybody that doesn't believe in Jesus, then everybody's the world, and he ain't praying for anybody. But he said, I pray for you. I'm praying for them. Who's the them? Watch what he says. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world. They are thine, and he says, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. I'm glorified in them. Jesus said, I have manifested your name to the world. Here he said, Jesus says, I'm glorified in the them that I'm talking about. Them, they, them, right? He says, I have glorified myself in them. How does he do that? How does God glorify himself in me? How does God glorify him? He says, and I am glorified in them. Christ glorifies himself in me. I can't glorify Jesus, and I can't glorify God. The Son glorifies himself in us, and by so doing is glorifying his Father. There is one that can glorify the Father, and that is Christ. Men, as hard as they try, will never glorify God. And the more they try, the less glory that God will get. Because the more you try, the more glory that men get. Listen, when a man does something, a man will want credit for what he does. And he will make it sound religious, but he wants to know that I worked really hard for this, and you better know that if it weren't for all I did and my ingenious thinking, that's why I have done. When Christ glorifies the Father, men want no credit for that. They just want the Lord to be glorified, right? Watch what he says. He says, and now I am no more in the world. Watch, he says, he separates himself from the world, right? I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. He says, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, and that they may be one as we are one. Just go ahead and go up there. And let me check something here real quick, because there's one thing here I really truly want you to see before our time is up. Look at what it says. For I have given, and let me switch over to the same translation you guys have. So it says, for I have given to them the words which thou gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that you sent me, right? They have believed that you sent me. And then in verse number 9, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Stay here with me, because this is important that we get here. All mine are yours, and your are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your own name. This is something that the Father is actively doing in our lives, right? He's keeping us. We're kept. How is a Christian kept? Kept from what? Kept from danger, kept from disease, kept protected, kept in every sense of the word. I mean, Jesus kept those disciples while they were with him. How many of them were ever hurt? How many of them ever suffered? How many of them ever had to fear in the middle of the sea with a huge storm? They feared, but how many of them had to fear? None of them. How many of them were protected? Always. He always kept them. But how did he say he kept them? It wasn't just because he rubbed on them, right? That they just stood next to Jesus and said, okay, if I'm in a storm, I'm just going to stay. They were in the same boat with Jesus sleeping, and they were still freaking out, right? So it wasn't his very presence that kept them, right? What was that kept them? The word, right? The word that he spoke, the things that he said is what kept them. And when they heard things but didn't really hear him, they weren't really kept, right? When Jesus was telling them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, they thought Jesus was talking about bread. Yet he's trying to teach them to beware of false doctrine, right? But he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they really thought that Jesus was mad at them because they forgot to bring bread. So you see what human reasoning does? When you lean on your own understanding, God says something to you and you think he's talking about bread. You think he is condemning you because you forgot to cook lunch for your children before they went to school, right? But that's not the point, right? People condemn themselves when they hear the word of God, and it ain't even what he's saying. Anything that God ever speaks to you is going to be for what? For your learning and to lift you and edify you in him. Only. You never have to fear anything God says. And if you receive something that God says and you feel guilt, the guilt is not from God. Right? Guilt is not. They felt guilty. The disciples felt guilty. And they said, did somebody bring him bread? We forgot to bring bread. He's upset because we didn't bring bread. And he's talking to them about false doctrine. You see how easily God can speak and people misunderstand? Right? But he will always teach you to lift you up. Never fear guilt. You never have to feel guilt when God is speaking to you. It's always, you can always receive anything he says. So let's come down real quick. So verse number 12, I guess. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that thou gavest me, gave me. He says, I kept. I'm reading non-King James, and I'm still speaking King James. And, I said, and none of them is lost. None of them is lost. You know what? You will never feel lost. You will never think like a lost person when you're listening to him. Everything that is crooked, he will always make straight. Every single time. Every single time. He says, none of them was lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. What was Judas's problem? He was listening to the words of heaven and would not listen nor believe them. You could listen to Jesus Christ of Nazareth and been part of the ministry and sat with him and followed him around, and you could live under that ministry and not be saved. The same way you could attend a church for 25 years, listening to someone who's preaching the true gospel and not be saved, right? It's not that the word has lost its power. It's not that the word from heaven has lost its power. It's that he said they will not hear and they will not listen. And he says that's why it is said from the prophet Isaiah, which he very boldly said, hearing they will not hear, and right? And that people just would not receive the things that were being said. But what is the only thing that we have to do? Come before the Lord and sit at his feet and just incline your ear. Just look in his direction. You don't have to try to get him to talk and try to coerce him into teaching you something, or try to figure out what book he wants to teach you from, or what scripture he wants to bring you to, or how do you know this and that, because I'm not really good with chapter and verses and blah, 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 right? Sit in front of the one who speaks and listen, right? And something funny that's been said several times over and over again is really just shut up, you know? We just really have to shut up. We run our mouth like there's no tomorrow. Just sit down, shut up, and listen to what he has to say. That's the best advice I ever heard, right? Sit down, shut up, and listen to him, Right? I mean, you could actually say that to somebody, maybe not in those words, right? I'm having such a hard time. I don't know what's happening. Sit down, shut up, and listen. Right? Obviously, they can't get revelation just like that, right? But that is, in essence, what really would have to happen. My God, listen to him. And you know what he says? He says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Right? What person that needs life could not receive when they would listen? But you know what we try to do? When we don't feel good, we try to look up verses in the encyclopedia, in the manual that God left for us, right? And we try to get all of the verses on healing so that we can know them, right? How about you just listen to him? The Lord knows, he knows the bad thought, the thought that is wrong, the thinking that is wrong in your mind, that is has you living in the situation that you're living in now. Let him do what he knows best. Let him be the one to speak to you, not what you expect him to say, but just let him speak to you whatever he wants to speak to you. Yeah, but I'm insecure and I'm not really sure that I can hear from the Lord. Well, then start. Acknowledge him. Just acknowledge him and shut up and listen. Acknowledge him. He won't let you down. He won't let you down. At first, you'll be like, oh, I don't know how to do this. Kind of weird. I don't know. So you know what? So you know what you do? You continually attend church so you can hear from people that are confident that God is speaking through them. Do you have to be careful what church you go to? Sure you do, right? You acknowledge the Spirit of God in that. Just like you acknowledge the Spirit of God where you need to go on vacation, and if you acknowledge the Spirit of God, what you should be doing tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and you acknowledge the Spirit of God in all of your ways. How many ways should we acknowledge God in? All of our ways. What did he say that he would do if you do that in all of your ways? He would direct all of your paths, right? All of them. He is really good. He's so good. Our God is lovely in every single way. So he says in verse number 13, and now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The person that listens to God will have the joy of the Spirit on the inside of them overflowing into their lives just because you listen to him. Mary sitting there at the feet of Jesus, right? Just listening to him, you know what? Joyous, joyous. You know how labor intensive and how depressing it can be to not have read your Bible in the morning and to go to work condemning yourself because you forgot to read your Bible. So that means that the day is going to be really crappy and everything's going to go wrong because you didn't do what you were supposed to do, right? Churches live like that. People live like that all day long. That the reason why everything's going wrong is because they didn't read their Bible in the morning. Even though they're walking and driving to work with the teacher on the inside of them, right? But they left the book at home because the Bible is too big and fat to bring with them. And they're reading the family Bible that they have to put somewhere in order to turn the page, right? But they don't get it. The teacher is in them, right? So they could be driving in the car listening to the Lord. They could be in a busy subway with everybody with their armpits in your face and you could be listening to the Lord. You could be on vacation in Maui listening to the Lord. You could be watching a movie on TV listening to the Lord. You have what? The teacher on the inside of you. And wherever you go, he goes. Wherever you go, he goes. Jesus said, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. Look at verse number 17:14. Look at what he says. I have given them your word. The word that is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. He said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world. Look at what it says. Even as I am not of the world, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Again, how does the Lord keep you? He keeps you by his word. As you listen to the Lord, you're kept. That the fancy word for that the church likes to throw around is sanctified. Sanctify. Look at what he says. He says, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from evil. They're not of the world. They're not of the world. Who is the they? That's us. What are we? Not of the world. That's where people get that verse, right? We're in the world, but we're not of it. It's actually not a Bible verse at all, right? You can try to search it in your Bible. In the world, but not of the world. It's not in the Bible. It doesn't exist. It's taken from here. Jesus said, they're not of the world. How? Because Jesus said, remember I told you before to remember that? I have taken them out of the world. The ones that you gave me out of the world. You know who they are? The ones that will believe in your name. The ones that will listen are the ones that you gave me out of the world. Why? Because here's what he says in verse number 17. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. So how are we kept? Through his word. What is his word? Truth. Right? What is truth? His word. What is the word? What God says. So you're driving along in the morning and you're going to work, right? And you're just acknowledging the Lord everywhere you go. You're doing stuff. You're cleaning. You're doing housekeeping. You're doing whatever you're doing. And you're acknowledging the Lord, right? You're in front of a PC. You're acknowledging the Lord. You acknowledge him in all of your ways, right? You know what happens? He's going to speak to you and bring things up to your mind and write things on your heart. Do you know that the Spirit of God does that? He said he's the one that writes things on your heart. Oh, no, you know what's happening is I'm getting older. And as I'm getting older, my memory is really bad. I mean, it's really bad. And my memory is so bad, I can't remember anything. So then that's it. You're done. I mean, if you can't remember, then forget it. That's it. As far as Christianity goes and growing in faith, forget it. You're never going to know Jesus because you have no memory, right? I mean, that's one thing in and of itself, believing that aging is a process that you have to go through because, of course, you're still subject to sin and death in the world, right? Which we're not, right? We've been delivered from the law of sin and death, and you're under a different law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, whose spirit you have on the inside of you. That's a different sermon anyway. But what he says is what? That you don't have to depend on your own understanding. So listen what that means. Not leaning on your own understanding means I don't have to have background in what the Lord is saying. I just have to listen to what he's saying. He will speak to me and teach me what he's saying. He will not only speak it, but he'll explain to me what he's saying. That's why a person can speak in another tongue and the Lord can tell you what that person is saying and they're not even talking in English. How can that happen? A person can speak in a tongue that is not yours, and the Lord can tell you what they're saying, and your mind didn't even understand what they're saying. So if you don't understand what somebody's saying, how can you know what they're saying? You don't even know what they're saying. How can you know what they're saying? I could be speaking to you in a different tongue right now, and the Spirit of God in you can tell you what I'm saying. How is that? Because the Spirit knows all things. And if the Spirit of God speaks something in French, he can tell it to you in English. You do know he's bilingual, right? You know that, right? How many languages can he speak? I don't think he's limited, right? So it doesn't really matter, right? Because you say, well, what happens? If I hear somebody talking in French, how can I learn? It's going to bypass my understanding. Thank God it bypasses your understanding. Because it has to. Because if not, you'll think you know and you don't know nothing. Right? If you receive something with your own understanding, you're going to think you know and you don't know. Right? You hear something, you say, oh yeah, I heard that last Sunday. I got it. I know exactly what he's saying. You don't know nothing. You think you know something, but you don't know nothing. Unless he teaches it to you and shows you, it's the only way that you'll know. That's why people across the ages have always said, you know how it is when you've read a verse 1,000 times and all of a sudden you read it the one time and you're like, oh, I really got it. That meant that the 1,000 times that you read it before, you didn't know nothing. And the one time that you listened, he spoke it to you, you thought that was different. Why? Because that's the one time that you got it, right? That's the one time that you got it because you let him teach it to you. Lean not on your own understanding. You know what that means? That when something, you know what else bypasses your understanding? The peace of God, right? The Bible says that the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. You know what that means? That you can't get up here and start thinking peaceful things and listen to birds chirping and you're just going to feel peace come all over you, right? The peace doesn't come all over you, right? The peace comes from inside of you out. That's where peace comes from. And only that's what peace is, a fruit of the Spirit, right? He brings peace out, right? Peace comes from what? Again, from the Word of God. When the Lord speaks to you, right? Peace comes to your soul. Why? Because care leaves. Right? Faith works, the Bible says, by love. How do you know the love of God? We would not know nothing about the love of God, right? If we did not allow the Spirit of God to teach us what the love of God is. You know, let's go ahead and close here. I'm going to show you something. Can we jump down for time's sake? All the way down to verse 22. And we're going to close in 22 and 23. I promise you we will. 22, look at what it says. He says, and the glory which thou gave me, what happened? I have given it to them. The glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them. Right? Okay. So the glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Right? So he would return to the glory of the Father, right, that he once shared, which he's one then now, right, with the Father. One, not separated in any sense of the word, not separated by physical body and physical earthly things, but he's one with the Father. And he said, I have given them that same glory now. The same glory, Lord, that I have now, I have given it to them so that they can be one. How are we? One, just like we are one, Jesus prayed, right? Just what kind of glory do we have? The glory he has now. Most churches would be offended and disgusted by that, right? Too bad it's the truth, right? That's the glory that he's given us, right? Whether they like it or not, that's what they have, right? He says, I in them, and look at what this glory is like, the glory of the Father, right? That how the glory of the Father can be manifested comes from this. Because I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Well, you know, why that happened? Well, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect, right? Don't you get sick and tired of hearing that you're not perfect? And they don't know that the spirit of these just men has been made perfect, right? Again, they don't know who they are. Thank God that the Lord does things so that we can know, right, and tell them. And that the world may know. Listen, this is where we're wrapping up in verse 23 where I told you. He's in us and we're in, right? He is in us and we are in, right? We're in Christ. We are in the Father, right? He's living on the inside of us. Jesus said that me, Father, and you will come make our abode in them. Right? People still don't know what the Holy Spirit is, the Spirit of God. He calls himself in the writings, right, the Spirit of God. And they're wondering whose spirit it is. I don't know. Must be a different this, a different that, right? Jesus said, me and my Father will come make our home in you. If the Holy Spirit in you is not their spirit, then why didn't he mention him, right? He said, me and my Father, we're going to come make our home in you. How did he do that? By their spirit, right? That's why he's in us. But the church struggles, right? Because I don't know exactly whose spirit I got. Is it Jesus' spirit, God's spirit, whose spirit, right? It's just uttering words that are vain. Again, what are vain imaginations, vain words? Words that amount to nothing. They sound religious and they sound right and they sound like there's some spiritual context to them, but they are without power. Why is that? Because he's not saying it. He has to say it in order for it to be effectual in our lives. He has to speak it. Look, so we're closing here in 23 where we said. He said that when we're in them, when we are one with the Father and with the Son, he said that the world will know that you have sent me. The world will know that you have sent me. You remember reading that before. A verse above in John 17, it says, Jesus said, I have given them the word and they have known by the word that I have spoken, right, to them, they have known that you sent me. And they know that all things that I have spoken are from you, right? Here he says about, now he's not speaking about himself speaking it alone. Now he's saying that we're one in him, that we are one. In other words, he's saying that he's in you and that now the word that you speak, the spirit in you, he says, I'm in them. Now I'll speak through them and the world will know that you sent me. When the world hears men speak, they will know that God sent the Son. Not that God sent Jose Perdomo. God sent the Son. They will know that God sent me. The one that is revealed by the spirit in a man is the one whose that spirit belongs to, right? The Spirit of Christ reveals Christ so that the Father can be glorified in the Son, right? Always. Listen, in other words, pastors, evangelists, teachers, right? What the church normally calls the fivefold ministry, right? Or for the equipping of the saints for the good work, right, of the ministry. Jesus said, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. What was that? I manifested your name to them. I spoke to them. Now, Jesus said that we would also be of those that would be doing the work of God, right? But how do those things happen? In other words, how is God inside of us manifested outwardly, right? It always starts by God speaking. It always starts by God speaking. And God will do things after the word of God is spoken in order so that his word can be confirmed and that the people can know. And in other words, when God says, I'm confirming my word, he's saying, listen to me, you just heard what I said. And he's saying, that was me saying it. That was me saying it. Just saying, that was me saying it. Right? So that's his way. When people try to say, thus saith the Lord, What they really want to mean by that, hopefully, is God is the one that is saying it, right? But the thing is, that's why Paul said, he said, above all things, that you would prophesy. What? In other words, that God could speak through you, because that's the only way the church can be helped. Right? By God. And what happens? When men that are filled with the Spirit of God speak, what happens? The world will know what? That God sent Jesus to save them, right? Speak the gospel to them, and then they are saved. The Bible says in Romans 10, right, that with the heart, men believes, right? That with the heart, men believes, and with the mouth, confession is made, right? So why is that? So the Lord will always deal with the heart of a man when he speaks to them. So you see why it's entirely important for us to learn to do that, to listen to the Lord the way Miss Lindsay was saying, the way Pastor Mike was talking about, and the way we end this service here. Because why? Because if you allow the Lord to speak through you, right? And how do you learn that? First listen to him. And the Lord, and you're listening to him, and listen to him, he will teach you. And you know when he'll speak? When he wants to speak through you. You don't have to make him speak through you. He'll speak through you when he wants to speak through you. Right? When it's appropriate, right? You don't have to go by impulse and live that way. The Lord will speak something through you. But then you know what? Then fear and shyness and insecurity and all that stuff can go out the window, because it's just, you know what? You're listening to the Lord. And you're not preoccupied. When are you going to do something, Lord? And when are you going to reach the poor? And when are you going to feed them? And when are you going to do this? And when are you going to reach out to marriages? And when are you going to reach out to people? And when are you going to do that? Because that is not your job. The ministry of the Spirit is the ministry of the Spirit, not the ministry of men. Men are doing things because they want to glorify God, but they're glorifying themselves. Just because somebody looks like they're doing something good doesn't mean God's doing it. Just because the poor are fed doesn't mean God fed them. Just because the poor are clothed doesn't mean God clothed them. Just because the poor are helped doesn't mean God helped them. Just because, listen, there are ungodly people that give money to the poor. That don't mean it's God doing it. Men do lots of stuff that they put God's name on it. Men have committed murders and atrocities and said that God told them to do it. It is not that way, right? Things that God does, God does. There are things that men do that men do. So how do you know the difference, and how you're not confused? He put that on the inside of you. When you went to a church, you say, Father, I need to know before I even make myself part of this thing, or even get involved, or even give a penny here. I want to know, Lord, that the things that are said by you. Number one, what spirit does the church speak by? Then number two is going to be, after you made up your mind that the church speaks by the Spirit of God, then you sit down and you're not listening to a man, but you're saying, Father, I acknowledge you. Every service you come in, every time you listen to an evangelist on TV, every time you turn on TBN, every time you turn on the Bridge Network or wherever you listen to, you acknowledge the Lord and you say, Father, I acknowledge you. In this thing that I'm doing right now, if I turned it on because I want to hear something good, I acknowledge you, not Derek Prince. I acknowledge you, not Joel Osteen. I acknowledge you. I don't care who Joyce Meyer is. It's you that I care about. If Joyce Meyer speaks by your spirit, then great. Thank God for your spirit. I don't have to. It's not about Joyce Meyer. It's not about this ministry. It's about your spirit. Wherever the Spirit of God speaks, I want to listen. If a six-year-old boy is speaking by the Spirit of God, I want to hear. I want to hear. It doesn't matter who it is. I want to hear. If you come up to me and you're saying something by the Spirit of God, I want to hear, right? But if it's not by the Spirit of God, it's just vain, right? So you make up your mind and you say, is it by the Spirit of God or isn't it? And then, you know, from there on, it's the same thing the way you live the rest of your life. You just listen.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.